Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Joe Reedy going to join us from the Associated Press at 10:30. I'll tell you why. Also, we will be talking baseball. Robert Murray will join us. Who's going to be the hotter-than-hell team coming out in the second half? And yes, Aaron Schatz joins us to talk football coming up at 12:40 a.m. Eastern. I had a wonderful weekend, and I hope you did too. Got to do some traveling this weekend. Got to not go abroad, almost abroad. I was on the tip of Canada. I will tell you folks this. I was in Buffalo over the weekend, and I don't know how big we are in Buffalo. We do get calls from Buffalo more than some other cities. I'll tell you this. Is I had a wonderful time in Buffalo, New York. The people there are fantastic. The fan base there, the Bills fans, the Sabres fans, usually one and the same. All great people. Had a wonderful time this weekend. Beautiful wedding. I think it was, what, East Aurora, New York? I mean, a fantastic time. Was in the Allentown area. Just had a blast. No kids. My wife and I, family members, we rented a house in the Allentown area for the weekend. It was fantastic. And again, you know people, you get to know people as you go on, and you get to talk sports. And we got to talk to the Uber drivers, and we got to talk to the bartenders, and we got to talk to the waiters and the whatnots. It was a wonderful weekend in Buffalo, New York. And if you haven't gone, and you like to see some cool stuff, or just a cool all-American city, you go to Buffalo, New York. And I've known about fans from Buffalo for a long time, because I'm from Canton, Ohio. And one of the things that they do so well, people from Buffalo, is they travel well for their football team. And when one of theirs goes into the Hall of Fame, or even when one of theirs isn't in the Hall of Fame, or even if the guy spent a cup of coffee with one of theirs, they travel very, very well. And as a kid growing up and being in Canton and going for the Hall of Fame ceremonies and seeing the festivities and getting to go to the parade, getting to be in the parade, getting to do all that stuff, and then, of course, working at one of the local restaurants. I worked at a pizza shop, and you always believe, here comes a Buffalo Bills fan and his whole family, and they were wonderful, salt-of-the-earth people that we absolutely loved having. In fact, one family just came every single year to our pizza shop. It was fantastic stuff. And I think about them, and I think about Buffalo fans and a lot of good other fan bases that come to Canton during the Hall of Fame weekend. And I'm a little bit remiss this morning, or I should say this evening, but this morning, yesterday morning, the morning before, I was a little, just felt a little bit bad about it. Because I found out what the Hall of Fame was going to do about the Terrell Owens situation. This isn't a defense of Terrell Owens. People will take this the wrong way because people love to bag on Terrell Owens. People can't stand Terrell Owens. Can't stand he's a me guy, quote unquote, which he has been. Can't stand that he is a distraction, which he has been, that he has left. And I heard Sean say this. I'm going to borrow this from Sean, that he has left scorched earth everywhere he went. In San Francisco, certainly in Philly, in Dallas, in Buffalo, and in Cincinnati. Well, some Buffalo fans were willing to have him back at age 36. But at 37 years old, when he had 983 yards and 9 touchdowns, which is a hell of a year, you knew that things were bad. One, because he was older. But two, that nobody else would even give him a try. That if you lost a quarter of a step for T.O., once the distraction became a little bit too much, that was going to be the end of it. And he made a decision a couple of months back that I thought was petty. I'd say childish, but he's a grown man. I thought it took away from his history. I thought it took away from what he's done that's been great. I thought it took away from what made him a very special wide receiver. And all it really did was reinvigorate the people who go against him. All that really did was absolutely legitimize any of the criticism that's been against him when he decides that he's not going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And we debated at the time what the Pro Football Hall of Fame should do over this. Because he's sitting out the ceremonies because he didn't like waiting. Which, again, was an asinine reason. Jerry Kramer's going to be there. He'll be there with bells on. People will be from Green Bay, Wisconsin, from Cleveland, Ohio, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from all over the country, and they all know who Jerry Kramer is, and they can't wait to hear speeches about Jerry Kramer and to see him. 45 years in the making. That's a guy who waited. Ray Guy was a guy who waited. Art Monk was someone who waited. Terrell Owens waited, what, 3 years? And because there's an argument, remember, there's an argument about not the Hall of Fame, but the people who voted him in. And the people who voted him in were the writers. That's why Joe Reedy, one of the Hall of Fame voters from the Associated Press, he'll join us later on tonight at 10:35. We'll see if he agrees with me. But for T.O.'s reasons, I thought it was petty. I thought it was ridiculous. Again, I'd call it childish, but he's a man who's old enough to certainly know better. And all it does is reignite any sort of the flames, any sort of the anger and vitriol that was pointed at him when really it shouldn't have been. Because if I look over these stats, almost 16,000 yards, 153 total touchdowns, the amount, what he amassed, how great he was, why he was with the 49ers, and nothing I say tonight, tomorrow, or for the end of time will ever take away his performance in Super Bowl 39. While he has absolutely been petulant, while he has been selfish, his performance in Super Bowl 39 with what doctors say was a broken leg, one of the best performances individually we've seen in NFL history. And that can't be taken away from him. But the NFL in their own right, I should say the Pro Football Hall of Fame in their own right, they made the wrong move here. I'm not a huge T.O. fan. I'm really not. I know greatness. I know that that's greatness, and you do too. You're not dumb. You know a great wide receiver when you see it, and you know that Terrell Owens is a great wide receiver, was a great wide receiver, and certainly deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame itself is making a major mistake here. You're for the glorification of the sport, the celebration of the men who made it great, honoring the history, looking into the past, evaluating, and building for a better future for the game. Stuff that's been said to me since I was born in Canton, Ohio, and more than likely will die in Northeast Ohio. And so those things are to be held very, very tightly and to be held in the utmost regard. And so automatically, yeah, it seems like a real good move that Terrell Owens isn't going to be there. To hell with him. Why are we even going to recognize him? Except when you get to the actual people who are going to be there. Bobby Bethard and Robert Brazil, Dr. Doom. You got Brian Dawkins who will be there. Brian Urlacher will be there. Randy Moss, certainly Ray Lewis will be there. More on him in just a second. First questions that are going to be asked. What do you think of T.O. not showing up? What do you think of T.O. not showing up? Hey, great. Jagger looks fantastic on you. What do you think of T.O. not showing up? First thing that's brought up. And then we'll continue this induction ceremony. We'll act like he isn't even there. Just let an 800-pound gorilla sit in the middle of the room and not address it whatsoever. When, if you are upholding the greatness of the game and the greats who made the game special. And remember, this is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame of really likable guys who were good with the media. Then even though he's not going to be there, and even though he's going to be petty, and even though he is absolutely, as a grown man, going to be childish in this manner, you need to hold yourself to a higher standard. I'm not saying have a presenter. I'm not saying have some speech. I know that he may get his bust, and that's going to be just about at the end of it, and they're going to send him his jacket. But as far as recognition, a guy whose numbers that are amassed know only greats that stand with him, and while he might not want to be remembered, or he wants to be petty, and that's the word of the night with the Hall of Fame selection committee, and he takes it out on the fans, or on the fans who would want to take him in and be the and look at him as the type of great that he is, and let bygones be bygones. Because the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, we've seen characters in the past go up there and give speeches, guys that we didn't know about in the past, guys that we questioned before, guys like Charles Haley, who definitely had a love-hate relationship with fans. And we see them up there standing. They give speeches. They tell these great tales. And we get to hold them in the highest honor. And while Terrell Owens isn't going to be there, whether it be a minute video or a two-minute video or some sort of recognition, that you know and that I know and that the fans know that you took the high road here was the very best. He's not going to recognize you, so you won't recognize him. Why? Because he affirmed what we always thought about T.O.? Because he is all those things that I've already said a couple of times over? Is that why? You're the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And again, it's not the Hall of Fame of really good, likable guys. Ray Lewis will get up there and he will give a stirring speech. There will be tears that pour. There will be people that are inspired by Ray Lewis's words. And you and I both know what's in Ray Lewis's past. And a plea deal is not being found innocent. Now, is it? You know who else is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? We honor players. We honor their accomplishments on the field. We honor their accomplishments for the glorification of the game. That's what we honor here. And you can guarantee yourself there were more guys than just Terrell Owens who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame tonight as the lights go down and you hear some of the words about how the bus will talk trash to one another from across the hallway, just like those little cool ghost stories that we hear. And you know there's some people who love to already talk about how great they were and how the glorification was for them and how they carried their team and how they were better than everybody else and how they deserved to be in the Hall of Fame even before they were in the Hall of Fame. That even if they were a first ballot Hall of Famer, they should have won right after they were done because they were that good. Do we really believe that Terrell Owens is the only insecure, shallow, arrogant personality that's ever played in the NFL? No. And for Terrell Owens, again, it's not a personal, it sounds personal, it sounds like a dislike. As a fan, didn't like Terrell Owens. But I do understand that he was fun. I do understand that he created controversy. I do understand that he created conversation to talk about whether to bring him in or not whenever he was a free agent, whether he was worth the squeeze at the times where he got a little bit older. Those were fun conversations. Whether or not we should loosen up some of the restrictions that we had on touchdown celebrations. Whether or not he was really good for the game because he was so amazingly good. But he always seemed to get in his own way. And even now, in his retirement, at 44 years old, seems to get in his own way. And he's taking this out on the voters. But what he really does is take it out on himself. Because Terrell Owens still, at the end of all this, has the personality, does have the charisma, and you know this, and does have, at a turn, a likability somewhere in him where he can take a moment like this and turn it into an opportunity. Turn it into a broadcasting gig. Turn himself into a pitch man for something like he has in the past. Turn himself into a likable character because we love second chances and we love people building themselves up. And we always want to look back and go, you know what? Yeah, I didn't like him at the time, but that guy was an incredible player. And you know that because you've called in about the same type of characters in your lives. You've talked about them in the bars, and you've talked about them on the show, and you've talked about them at the pizza shops in Canton and Buffalo and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and all those places I mentioned. You have spoken about them. How maybe in second look or third look even, maybe so-and-so wasn't that bad. Maybe he deserved another chance. Hey, he wasn't a criminal after all. Never convicted of anything. We know that he had some problems in the past, obviously. And maybe that contributed. Our understanding is a little bit better. T.O., make no mistake, Terrell Owens robbed himself of a glorious opportunity here. And for the fans that already love him, they'll go with him. But to create new fans, to create new appreciation for what he did, which was, from our memories and from our statistics that we're able to look up, unblemished and cannot be taken away from. And that performance, again, in a losing effort in Super Bowl 39, when he was that good, playing injured, when we were going back and mentioning him in the same sentence as a guy like Jack Youngblood, for crying out loud, also a Hall of Famer who gave a great speech. That's his journey. But for the Hall of Fame that holds these guys up to be the very best, to be the pinnacle, to have that appreciation, you trying to not say anything, you trying to ignore him or shun Terrell Owens from the scenarios and from the induction has put a bullhorn around it. And now you've taken this scenario, and instead of just, hey, we're going to have a little thing here, and, well, Ken, they might boo. Yeah, they've booed other players before, too. They have. I've been to the induction ceremonies. I've seen them. They've booed presenters as well. They're fans. That's what they do. Fans boo. And sometimes it's a chuckle. Most of the time, it's been a chuckle from what I've observed. But in the Hall of Fame, in their chance to, well, we got to marginalize this. We got to make sure that this goofball doesn't have a voice. Okay. What they've done is they've turned themselves into the Jimmy Hart, walking around with the megaphone like the mouth of the South, with the sunglasses on, and yelling about his presence, or I should say, lack thereof. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So who's right, who's wrong? Are they both wrong when it comes to the Hall of Fame and Terrell Owens? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
He's Babe Ruth, only handsome. I'm terrified of him catching balls in the face.
On CBS Sports Radio.
All those guests, courtesy of the hotline, we got a few of them tonight. Robert Murray going to join us, MLB writer. We'll talk about the first half of the MLB season. Also, the second half, is home run derby overblown? By the way, it's not. It's not overblown. But Robert Murray will join us at 11:35 p.m. Eastern. And Aaron Schatz will join us. Aaron Schatz will join us, I beg your pardon. 12:35, 12:40 a.m. Eastern. Football Outsider, as well as ESPN Insider Analyst, Fair or Foul, coming up at 12:20, 11:20 a.m. or p.m. Sounding Off will join us. And then 1:20, where Yippee-ki-yay should replace ho-ho-ho. I'm sure you know what's coming up there. Also, Joe Reed is going to join us here in about 20 minutes. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. This what this did for T.O., and I'm not supporting what T.O. did. I think that he had a golden opportunity, and he completely let it die, which is basically everything. That's T.O. in a nutshell. Terrell Owens did what Terrell Owens has always done in his entire life. So I guess I really shouldn't be surprised. Because we've wanted Terrell Owens to do these things so we could like him for his entire career. And he just won't do them. San Francisco and how that ended. Philadelphia is so perfect. Him and Donovan McNabb. And he goes out there at Super Bowl 39. And again, he has the game of his life on a broken wheel. And then he just can't shut up after that, and that turns into a total dumpster fire in Philadelphia. Afterwards, in Dallas becomes a dumpster fire. Afterwards, when he was in Buffalo and at the end in Cincinnati, and when he's still trying to call up teams because he burned through $70-plus million in his career, all that became a fire. And we've always wanted the best for Terrell Owens because he's a great. You say you don't like him, but you've always wanted the best for him, including don't tell me you weren't looking forward to this speech. Because here's a chance that we can like a guy. Charles Haley, the problems that he had with 49ers fans when he left, the problems that he's just had in general with NFL fans, the problems that he's had with the media, the problems that he's had with coaches, and Charles Haley gave speeches and we loved him for it. There's been some very difficult people who have been recognized as Hall of Famers and they gave tremendous stirring speeches or even speeches that weren't even that great. We just wanted to love him so much and we wanted that for Terrell Owens and he didn't do it. So that's not a defense of Terrell Owens. But I think for an institution like the Pro Football Hall of Fame to do tit for tat, that's below you. You're better than that. You're the Hall of Fame. Greatness is greatness. You're the one who said it. If we're looking at people who are way worse than Terrell Owens ever could be, and it's not even a comparison, hey, O.J. Simpson's still there, and we know what happened with O.J., or allegedly happened with O.J. in the court of law. And still went to prison for, 9 years? So if we're talking about the greatness of the game and recognizing greatness, you know what you saw out there in the field. I can say whatever I want to about Terrell Owens off the field or at least around the perimeter of the field, the Hall of Fame jackets and the golfing and the God knows what else. But in this moment when I'm just trying to take the same road T.O. is as something that's supposed to be an institution of greatness, I don't think that's the right move by the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 855-212-4CBS. John in Pittsburgh, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
John, doing well. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. Look, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has kind of been cornered into this. And it's because of Owens. He could have easily accepted the invitation and been there in, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. whatever it is, mm-hmm. he could have easily done this and said his piece on the podium. Could have done that. And that's fine. He's welcome to do that, and he's legitimate to say, well, you know, I should have been here sooner, but I'm here now. I'm happy to be here. Is it petty by the Pro Football Hall of Fame to ask presenters or anybody that's going to be there to not mention him? Sure, it's petty. But Owens is he's the genesis of all of this because of his selfishness mm-hmm. and because of how he has acted in the past. And is it right of him to do it? I guess, maybe. But sometimes you got to take the high road. And
well,
it's unfortunate because
yes.
he's been great. His numbers speak for themselves.
Without a doubt.
He's been great. But is it petty by the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Sure it is. But they were forced into this by Owens, and it's really sad. It really is. He should be there. He should have manned up, said what he wanted to say on the podium, and it would have been the end of it.
I still think, John, you're right about this, and I thank you for the call. The only thing is that when you're right about T.O. T.O. robbed fans an opportunity to, I don't know if forgive is the right word. Maybe it is. But he robbed fans the opportunity, even young fans, who didn't see T.O. at his very, very, very prime. And even in his final year, he had 900 yards receiving. Almost 1,000. But he robs young fans, and he robs you a chance to, hey, you know what? He had problems, or he was a cantankerous personality, and he destroyed teams that weren't with him. And there would still be some Eagles fans that tell him, you know what? But you could look at it and go, yeah, but he was still a hell of a football player. And you can still do that if you want to, but what this does is takes a blowtorch towards it. And I think the Hall of Fame, which again is a celebration of greatness and recognizes greatness in the sport to hold it to its utmost level of where it should be. Hey, you know what? We know Terrell Owens doesn't want to be recognized. That's a problem between him and the voters, not a problem between him and the fans or us and our fans. We know Terrell Owens is great. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. So if he doesn't want to be here, we're still going to show a minute video. We're still going to recognize him and his greatness, even if he doesn't want to be. Because we recognize greatness in the NFL. That's what we do in professional football. And he's in a hall with many, many others who were great with him. And he'll be here forever, whether he likes it or not. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get back to you coming up. Also, one of the guys who voted in or out when it comes to Terrell Owens, Joe Reedy. Associated Press down in Florida. We'll ask him a couple of FSU things as well before we let him go. And why or why not he's upset with Terrell Owens when he was one of the guys who may or may not have voted Terrell Owens into the Hall of Fame. That coming up next.
Ken Carmen wants to hear from you.
I'll tell you this, man. I bleed orange and black. You know, I have the Bengals tatted on me. I'm a Bengals fan to the day I die, man. And Andy Dalton, he's killing me. I mean, my dog got hit in the head with a remote last year because of this guy.
Call him now at 855-212-4CBS.
Coming up in just about an hour, we talk Major League Baseball. Robert Murray will join us. We'll get to his thoughts about the All-Star break and also who to watch out for in the second half. And finally, who's going to get Manny Machado? Lots of questions to ask, so little time to answer them. Same thing can be said right now. That's why we welcome in Joe Reedy right now from the Associated Press down in Florida. Follow him on Twitter, at Joe Reedy. He's a guy who is a selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, certainly with his illustrious and long career with the Cincinnati Inquirer. Joe, thanks for joining us tonight, friend.
No problem, Ken. How you doing?
Joe, doing well. What do you think of the – and I just gave my thoughts on this where – listen, I'm not a big T.O. fan. I'm not going to claim to be. I think that in times he's been fun, and I think he's lost a tremendous opportunity to get people who didn't like him before to like him now. And that opportunity can also be a monetary opportunity, too, from what we've seen in the past. But I just don't like how the NFL, or I should say the Pro Football Hall of Fame, is just kind of doing the same for same. And, well, if you're not going to recognize us, we're not going to recognize you. It's still a hall of greatness. But you're one of the people who have voted. What do you think?
I mean, as a guy who's now on the outside looking in, because I had to give up my selector rights when I joined the AP, I think that the Hall should have handled it as they do in the case of a player who's deceased and who couldn't be at the enshrinement. You do the video, you unveil the bust, and then you go on to the next one. The fact of the matter is 50 men and women voted to put Terrell Owens into the Hall of Fame, And despite him not showing up, he still deserves his 10 or 15 minutes of due during the ceremony. And by the hall just saying we're not going to recognize anything, I think that's an affront to the current and future Hall of Famers, and I think it's also an affront to the selectors who helped vote him in.
Joe Reedy joining us on the show. No, I think you're right, just because I think them not recognizing him or talking about not recognizing him, I think it puts a great big spotlight on it. And so now you have guys, Jerry Kramer's waited, 45 years in eligibility? Now he's going to be asked about this, where Terrell Owens says he's not doing this because he's doing this for the people who had to wait, which none of this makes any sense whatsoever, Joe.
No, and I think, too, Ken, we've seen situations in the past. Gene Hickerson couldn't talk and was in a wheelchair, yet he showed up at the ceremony. Hank Scram couldn't show up, did a recorded message. McTinglehoff, a couple years ago, veteran selector, didn't want to talk because of his health condition, so he had Fran Tarkington do the speech. You've had guys who are in very frail health still get there. And I think also, too, Steve Sable helping in trying his dad a couple years ago, and then Steve passed a couple months later due to brain cancer. I think that there was a way to handle it. And, you know, I can see Terrell's beef, because if I'm Terrell and I've heard that there is a very rare opportunity for receivers to make it on the first ballot, and I see Randy Moss make it on the first ballot, and if I'm Terrell Owens, and I'm sure most of the fans would also go if you did Randy Moss and Terrell Owens side by side, Terrell's the better player. I wouldn't say definitely the better player. And I think that maybe a little more bluster comes out of that from his end, too.
One of the fears, Joe Reedy joining us on the show. Now, obviously, you've been through Canton. I'm from Canton. I have family there, and they've even brought this up, where Brian Urlacher, and even someone brought it up on Twitter earlier, that Brian Urlacher was complaining a little bit because there's not as many amenities as hotels. That's what you would have with other places, and there was a little bit of a complaint there. And there is a fear that this could get something started where guys decide not to come. I think that's false, Joe. I think that we're looking at proud guys who had great careers, who want people to know they had great careers, and I just don't think that they would be – I don't think we're all of a sudden going to see a big group of guys turning down a weekend where everybody's telling them how great they were.
Right. And as you know, Ken, being in Northeast Ohio, it's also difficult. It won't be after this year. But for about 10, 15 years, the enshrinement has gone on the same weekend as the Bridgestone in Akron. So hotel rooms, I mean, most people have to stay in Cleveland for enshrinement because everything in Akron is booked up. But, if you're an enshrinee, you can get as many hotel rooms as you want. So I think for the fans, It was a little bit of a longer haul to do it, but I think starting next year it'll ease up a little bit. I mean, with T.O., he's got a chip on his shoulder with the selectors and the writers. I'm sure a couple selectors have a chip on their shoulders against him too, which has been vocalized, and it wasn't going to be an easy enshrinement no matter what. And I think even if he had done the speech in Canton and everything for the ring ceremony, which probably now they'll mail the ring like they do the gold jacket, which team was going to host the ring ceremony? I mean, maybe the Niners, but you know, he had a difficult exit from there, difficult exit from the Eagles, difficult exit from the Cowboys, you know, with the Bills. I mean, would Mike Brown, for 1 year of playing there, have decided to hold the ring ceremony? Who knows? It's just a very unique case, to say the least.
Would he have the ring ceremony if he didn't have to pay for the ring? Okay. I'm sorry, Joe. That was under the belt, wasn't it?
He's still gonna get the ring no matter what. But fair. I mean, the one thing with Terrell doing it in Tennessee is he can speak however long as he wants, Ken, which this could be a 2-3 hour enshrinement speech. And it, you know, if you're the Hall organizers, between Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, and if Terrell was there, who was going to go last, and who was going to tell the other two guys, oh yeah, you're going second to last or next to last, and keep it within 15 minutes.
Yeah, very true. Joe Reedy joining us on the show. You got a point about that. At Joe Reedy on Twitter. Can I ask you a little bit about Florida State football? I'm a little bit nervous right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is some of the well? Let me ask you this. Let me start with this. Because Jimbo Fisher leaves and kind of does it in his own weird dead of the night way, where it wasn't like he said he was leaving Ole Miss in a pine box and then left in a play called the Pine Box or whatever it is. But a Christmas tree out on the lawn and the $10 million a year and the guaranteed contract. Is some of the luster off Florida State, or was this just, hey, you know, he's offered this amazing amount of money, he's going to take this amount of money, and he's already won a national championship at Florida State? Because that's immediately how people start to draw. And Florida State, growing up, I mean, that's the creme de la creme, one of the very top programs that you could have. Where's Florida State football at right now?
I think Florida State, truthfully, Ken, is in a much better place, because with Jimbo in Florida State and his flirtations every year, it was getting old, and I knew that through talking to a lot of boosters and administration when he signed that extension in 2016, this was going to be the absolute last time they were going to go through with this. And you just had the feeling when rumors with A&M went up and with Jimbo still trying to get more facilities and everything, that basically both sides, it was time to do a divorce. I think Willie Taggart, who grew up as a Florida State fan, has energized this fan base. But I also think what's important too, Ken, is he's energized a lot of those players from the 80s and 90s who kind of felt like they didn't have a place with Jimbo Fisher running the team. I mean, Bobby Bowden showed up for a couple spring practices and showed up at the spring game. That never happened when Jimbo was coaching, which I don't know if that was direct success or anything, but, you know, you had Deion Sanders, you had Brooks showing up, you had a lot of the old-time guys showing up for spring football. So he's found a way to get everybody energized. Now, what it means for the upcoming season, who knows, but I think if Willie can somehow get to 10 wins this year, that's a heck of a job. They're probably more 8-9 win team, though, in my opinion, right now.
Well, that would probably be in a better situation than what he's been left with in the past. I know he's just coming from Oregon, but in the previous stops in South Florida and Western Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, I think, and I'd have to go back against my own memory here, but he had a couple of rebuilding programs that he had to get going there before he was able to leave Western Kentucky in a good spot, and as well as South Florida.
Yeah, and I mean, Oregon was going to be a rebuild too. I think the one thing coming into this job was he got to see his team go through a round of bowl practices and everything, which he didn't do before. So at least in late December, early January, while he was still gathering his coaching staff, he had at least a chance with his own eyes to view in game situations and practice situations what he had and maybe how he wanted to do things also.
Joe Reedy joining us on the show, Associated Press, based out of Tallahassee, Florida. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Joe Reedy. Is it going to be DeAndre Francois, or is it going to be James Blattman, who's the quarterback this year?
Right now, truthfully, I'd probably give the edge to Blattman. I think with the leadership, he's got a bit of an edge, and I think that the team responds more around him. Francois has had a couple off the field incidents, which, you know, has opened him up to criticism from the coaching staff. But I think the most important offensive player isn't going to be the quarterback. It's going to be running back Cam Akers and what he can do. Running the ball, because I think it's going to kind of be like a couple years ago with Dalvin Cook, where this is going to be more of a running team.
Does Dan Mullen got to do some real actual rebuilding, or was that just a problem of things going awry down at Florida?
No, I think he's got to do some rebuilding. To tell you the truth, Ken, it's a real strange situation in the state, because I think if you would name the top three programs in the state right now, probably Miami one and UCF and Florida Atlantic are in a race for two and three. And then, wow, you know, then you got Florida State and Florida at four and five, which, or maybe South Florida vaults to four. And then you got Florida State and Florida at five and six. So I think Rick also has an edge because of what they're building down in Miami, and kind of with those legacy recruits and stuff that he could pull a couple from Florida State. But Mullen's got a ton of rebuilding to do, especially on the offensive end. Quarterback really isn't a good situation right now. Receivers, they're lacking depth, and I think it's going to take a couple of years, but the good thing is he's used to being in that area, and I know the fan base likes him, too, with what he was able to do under Meyer there with a couple national titles.
I'm going to get killed for asking this, but I have to. Is it wrong for me to hope Dan Mullen does well because I think that Florida has still a hangover left from Urban Meyer?
No, I don't think that's wrong at all. I do think, too, that Dan Mullen has to be successful for athletic director Scott Strickland to kind of give him a leg up on stuff too, kind of like Jeremy Foley did when he hired Steve Spurrier, because Jeremy Foley hired Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, which gave him a lot of chips that unfortunately he burned through with Jim McElwain and Will Muschamp and Ron Zook. So this being early in Strickland's tenure at Florida, he's really got to do well to build this get him some cachet.
Follow him on Twitter at Joe Rady. He's one of the very best. Joe, you know I thank you for the time, brother. Take care.
No problem. Thoughts and blessings, Ken.
Same to you. Joe Rady joining us on the show from the Associated Press. Don't kill me, please, for saying that. But every single time we get to talking about college football, and it'll happen again this year with somebody from Florida calls up, and they brought up Will Muschamp. And because this is all Urban Meyer's fault, and Jim McElwain. Well, first, we didn't know whether or not he was really the naked guy in the shark. Once we figured out that it wasn't, then it was, this is all still Urban Meyer's fault. Urban Meyer's been gone for 7 years, brother. 7 years. But I'll get Florida fans. It's still because of what Urban left them. It's been 7 years. You got to be able to build yourself back up from something like that. And you've had a couple of good seasons here and there, but you got to get it going in your own right. And I am done hearing about that, because I got Dan Mullen working over here, and that's been a different character his entire career, who has been a builder. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, from a fan that had him to a fan base that's about to get him, Laker fans, you and I need to have a serious talk. It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.